A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll finish up the program, of course, at the top of the hour and then turn it over to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Lots of questions, I'm sure, as we start to make the turn and clean up garden growing areas and things and getting your trees and shrubs ready for the winter season. Seems weird to even be talking about that right now. Here's what we want to focus on. And boy, has this been getting a lot of attention over the last week. This video, a six-minute video. Taken while this guy was on a run up Slate Canyon near Provo and came on to, and the video starts with a couple of little cubs that, you know, look cute and run behind a tree. Pretty soon this guy realizes, you know, if there's little ones around, mama's coming too. And here she comes. Here she comes around the corner, and she's charging. If it wasn't for the cougar incident, the colors are fantastic to take a look at. But Scott Root from the Division of Wildlife Resources joins us right now. Scott, I don't see you near often enough, but I always feel like we've seen each other because I enjoy your videos so much on social media.
Well, thank you, Tim. Yeah, that was really quite an encounter and one of the most exciting and scary at the same time in my career.
Yeah. Bob Grove is still with us. Mark Wade is still with us from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. Both of you, Bob, starting with you, what were your thoughts when you first saw it?
Well, what were my first thoughts? The first thought that came to mind, and I think this is probably what came to so many others, is throw a rock.
Yeah, yeah. And I wondered why the guy didn't do that. We'll get to that here in a second. Mark, have you ever had an encounter like this with any other wildlife species?
You know, it's interesting. It was with a wild turkey, a mother wild turkey. She had her little chicks going through the brush, and I tried to get close to get a picture, and she came out and lectured me at my toes, and she squawked at me and told me to leave, and I learned my lesson.
Yeah. This one was not squawking. She was growling.
Go away.
And he does his best to get her to back off. And I was a little upset, by the way, Scott, and you can talk to this. I'll let it roll behind us, but I was a little upset at some of the coverage of this and even the headline that says Cougar Stalks Man. She didn't want to eat this guy. She was just trying to get him to back off and protect her cubs.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, first of all, mountain lions are kind of a controversial species anyway. It seems like a lot of our population is afraid of them, doesn't like them. The other half doesn't want us to touch them, you know, just leave them alone. And you're right. In this situation, this mountain lion, this female, was being a really good and protective mom, and she wanted to run him off. And that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
She wasn't stalking him to, you know, to attack him. She was trying to get him out of the area. So I just want everybody to know that. And I'm just grateful everything turned out well. He did a lot of great things right. I have some people upset with Scott Root because, you know, I keep saying he did a lot of good things. He did, you know, most of what he did was correct. But they're upset that he was going toward the kittens. But from what he told me on site was that he's a trail runner, and he stopped like you're supposed to. He didn't know what those kittens were. He thought maybe they're little bobcats, and he pulled out the phone like so many of us do. And that's when he realized, you know, when he sees mom coming at him, he's like, oh, this isn't good. And it all started. It happened really fast. Well, not really fast, but she was there fast. And so he did so many good things. He backed away like, you know, I would recommend. He maintained eye contact to kind of – have a little bit of an intimidation factor, like I'm not backing down, I'm backing away. And he made a lot of noise, which is what you are supposed to do. And, you know, he made himself large.
Yeah.
I like that he didn't just bend down right away to grab a rock. because you don't want to get smaller if you can help it.
Yeah.
He told me he felt like the time finally came when he felt like he could grab a rock. And he even told me when I wasn't maintaining eye contact, that's when she would lunge forward even closer.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting.
Well, so, here's one of those moments. I think you'll be able to hear it. He's talking to her.
Nice and slow.
And he starts
Come on.
To go one way or the other, and she doesn't like it. There's a moment here, and it happens about every minute or so. She just tucks her ears, and she comes charging with a growl.
I'm big and scary. I'm big and...
I'm big and I'm scared.
Go away.
Yeah, forget the big and scary.
Go away.
You'll notice in that video, she takes off after him, and then she slams on the brake.
Right.
That's a bluff charge. It's very common for a mother animal, whether it's a bear, mountain lion, even a moose, a lot of times they will bluff charge.
Yeah.
And so, thankfully, that's all she did. And that's why just doing what he did as a hiker and backing away, maintaining eye contact and all of that, that could have made the difference. But she definitely wasn't out to stalk him. She was just protecting her babies.
Right. And I thought maybe I'd be able to time this. Here she comes.
Nope.
Oh my gosh. And hissing, not growling. She is hissing. And, boy, at that moment, I don't know that I would react as calmly as he did. And I made the note on our Facebook page that after you've changed your underwear, you know, maybe you do things a little bit differently. But you've mentioned some of the things he did right. These confrontations, and I shouldn't say confrontations, these encounters are happening more often because, first of all, we're moving into their territory. Secondly, the population is growing, right?
Yeah, we have a good mountain lion population, and he was absolutely in mountain lion country. And I think most of our population in Utah realizes that if you're going to be in the foothills, you know, anywhere where you have a chance to see deer, there's a chance to see a mountain lion. You might see a bear, you might see a moose, a cow moose with a calf, which can be dangerous. And I think most of our hikers and runners realize that. And what I would just recommend is basically, if you are going to spend time running in the foothills, you might want to reconsider going in the low light hours.
Like early morning and evening, yeah.
Yeah, but that's when most of our runners like to do that. And then second of all, you might want to have at least one or two other people with you as a group. That would commonly keep mountain lions from wanting to go after, you know, a group of people. And then I always like to encourage people, if you're in the outdoors quite a bit, invest $40 or $50 in a can of bear spray. And I was really happy to see on Facebook the famed predator biologist from Yellowstone, Casey Anderson. He did kind of a rundown of the Utah clip that you're watching, and he said basically everything I did. And he's an expert, you know, he knows his stuff. He's been with him for 20-something years. So I was just happy that we were on the same page. And I think that Mr. Burgess did a lot of great things to avoid any physical confrontation. So Mr. Burgess didn't get harmed, and the cougar, she didn't need to be harmed, and everything worked out well. And I think the silver lining here, tens of millions of people received a wonderful education about mountain lion, mother mountain lion behavior, and some of the steps to do to avoid or what to do in a confrontation or an encounter like that.
Just a real quick follow-up. This has not been part of the reporting, although I know KSL did some coverage of it. The division's gone back in there and tried to find this mama and cubs, and last time I heard, were unsuccessful in doing that, so it sounds like she's moved on.
Well, we hope so. I don't know how far, you know, and I don't know if we would have really done much as far as, you know, we didn't want to harm that mountain lion because she's in mountain lion country and she's doing what a good mother mountain lion would do.
Yeah.
We just wanted to make sure, because public safety is our number one priority, and we just wanted to make sure that she wasn't hanging out around that trail. And we went there twice, two different times, two different days, and we couldn't find her. So we're happy about that. And one thing I'd like to note is there's a little stream right there at the bottom of that canyon, and My hunch is she was probably getting her baby some water and such as well.
Yeah. All right, we're going to let you go. But I have to ask you while I've got you, I always try and share anyway, the videos that you take some time to edit off of your trail cams. Was the Lake Hardy near Bighorn Peak of the goats, was that yours?
I have a version. I had my buddy who loves mountain climbing. He took two cameras, one for the division and one for me, and both of them were able to capture some phenomenal footage of mountain goats. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, it really is something to watch, and I've shared that on our Facebook page as well. Scott Root, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Here's the way, by the way, the encounter ended up there in Slate Canyon near Provo.
Yeah, so that just happened. Wow. You see that? Oh, some will come, actually. Holy cow. Holy cow. Yeah, not going back that way.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
I am not going back that way. I'm kind of curious how long it'll be before he actually decides he's going to go run that trail again. Oh, my goodness. All right, guys, hang on. We're going to take another break. We'll come back and we'll finish out the program. This week's KSL Outdoors in just a minute.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Navi's dropped off. Mark Wade is gone. My only friend in the world is actually Bob Grove, who's still with us today to wrap up the program. And I'm sorry we missed connecting with Russ Smith, but he did tell me that he was going to be fully loaded with the trailer in tow, headed out to the West Desert, and was not crazy about trying to have a conversation while he was driving. So we'll look forward to a full report on the Pony Express 100 coming up on next week's program, so something to look forward to. Speaking of looking forward to something, we've mentioned a couple of times on the show this morning, Bob, that it appears many people, and we've seen this sort of grow over time, but more and more people are jonesing to get out and do some things. Probably going to squeeze it in here before the snow actually begins to fly, and some people may be less likely to go out and enjoy. But we've seen some increase in tourism activity, which we actually talked about on Utah's Morning News this week. Have you heard that or seen that with your clients?
Oh, boy, I've seen it firsthand. You know, this whole season has been very strange.
Yeah.
You know, for obvious reasons. It started out just dropping off the table. I mean, the tourism industry was just gutted in the early part. And then we started seeing some increases as we got further into the summer. And now this fall has been busier than I can ever remember. I have Mark and I were mentioning that to each other the other day as we were coming back from Torrey, how busy the roads were, how busy the towns were, how busy Bryce was. I mean, the line coming out of the park, and we have not seen this kind of business. And it's a different visitor. It's not the visitor that we typically see this time of year. What we normally see around this time of year are a lot of buses. There are a lot of tour groups that are international. They're still coming through the month of October into early November. Family travel high on weekends, you know, and still kind of that domestic inbound market from back east. What we're seeing now this year, are the visitor is different. It's more of an outdoor sportsman, a recreational. They're out there for recreation. They're out there hiking. They're going to the parks, but they're spending more time on the trails. And they're not as much of that sightseeing tourists that are jumping from park to park to park. They're more.
They're looking to get away.
They're looking to get away. But, you know, the reason why is, I mean, you can't go on a cruise, can't go to Hawaii,
right.
Can't go many of Disneyland. Many of their popular destinations that they typically go to are just not available right now. And it's not just Utah. It's all of our surrounding states. You know, the people that were on my tour recently were from Florida, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they all had plans for other trips. They were going to go to Europe and South America and on a cruise and all these other trips. But the national parks became the best option.
Well, and I think, and this may have been part of our reporting this week on KSL, that Zion actually reported record numbers in September.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised because it has been very, very busy. On these last tours I took, busiest I've seen. In 27 years of guiding, busiest fall I've seen. I talked to a ranger in Arches National Park. He said since Labor Day, the park, and this was at the time that I spoke to him a week or so ago, that the park had been closed 16 times since Labor Day. Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And so, but this isn't the new normal. This is my prediction. This is just me speaking as a consultant in the industry, is I don't believe this is the new normal. This isn't going to stay this way because as things open up, as Disneyland opens, as Hawaii opens, as cruises, all the other things as they return, we'll see a falling off of many of these visitors that are now, all converging here at our national parks. And it's not just here in Southern Utah. It's throughout the national park system, Yellowstone and all the others.
I have adopted this saying of, it's not a new normal because we don't want this to be normal. It is what we refer to as a new now. And so we'll deal with the new now. And I was, it's affected everything, including sports, obviously, which I'm involved with on a couple of different levels. But I was reading about the World Series that's coming up and the fact that they're going to allow, I don't know what it is, 15,000 or 17,000 people into a 50,000 seat stadium. And that there was a story I read yesterday of somebody who planned on this a while ago, but lives in Hawaii and just figured, look, there is never going to be an opportunity in my lifetime like this for me to see a World Series baseball game. So they started breaking it down and a ticket from the islands to get to wherever the World Series is taking place would have normally been about $1,000, and it was $300. A hotel room in the city that was hosting the World Series would be almost impossible to get, and if you could get it, it would be $500 a night, and instead it was $100 a night. Even things like food along the way, and the ticket itself to the World Series was $45 instead of $450.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an example, but those kinds of opportunities are out there, whether you want to go see a World Series game or whether you want to go, to see one of our great national parks. And people are making these decisions on very short notice, I think, which is probably tough for these resorts to deal with.
Yeah, that's another thing that Mark and I have observed is that the lead time is very tight. Now, people are making their decisions as they get close to the travel date because they, they're kind of waiting and seeing to see what happens. And I have a feeling that this is going to continue for a while, until things start lifting. But the resorts and others that are in the industry are making adjustments. But I would recommend if you're out wanting to travel on a road trip in the fall, the parks are very busy. In fact, I would recommend if you're going to Moab right now, there is construction on the main road going through town on 191, just beyond the bridge going into town. And it is not fun.
Yeah.
Had to deal with that. So keep that in consideration when you're going down there. And there's some other things. I know the tourism office in Moab won't be happy to hear me say that, but they're already full anyway, so I don't think it makes any difference. But there's so many other choices. There's places like Cedar City and Beaver, and some look for cities that aren't gateway communities to the parks, because those are the communities that are going to be the busiest. Or just check with them first, because the word on the street right now is that it's pretty busy for at least the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. All right. All good advice, and that's why I love having you around. That's going to do it. We're out of time. We're going to turn it over to Maria Chaleos and Tom Bettis. That means the greenhouse is coming your way next. Bob, have a great week.
Thanks, Tim. You too.
Getting together to just chat makes it feel a little like the new normal instead of the new now. I appreciate hearing from you. It lifts my spirits. We'll head on out of here. I'll be back with you Monday morning, of course, for Utah's Morning News with Amanda Dixon starting at 5 o'clock. Hope you have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to KSL Outdoors Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.